Take your Bibles now. Turn to Daniel, if you will, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We want to look at the prayer of Daniel, first of all. The prayer of Daniel. I think this is a good chapter and probably one of the better chapters in the Bible concerning prayer itself. And we'll see what Daniel was doing. And the prophets did not just sit around passively doing nothing. Daniel was probably 90 years of age at this point in time, according to Bible scholars, somewhere around there. And he's still busy and still searching the scriptures, spending time praying, spending time trying to discern the Lord's will in his life and many of those things, and searching for the message and the meaning in prophecy. And that's what he was doing on this occasion. Daniel is busy. Daniel is seeking God's face. And that's the way it ought to be with all of us, no matter what our age is. Just keep on keeping on for God, doing what we can, and serving him, staying in the Word, keep on praying, and discern the future and what God wants to do with us in the future. The first thing we see in this chapter is the promptings of prayer. The promptings of the prayer. Verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. That gives us the time frame of it. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. They were coming down to the end of that 70-year period of time where they had been taken into captivity. And he was reading about that in Jeremiah's prophecy. For instance, in Jeremiah 25:11, the scripture said, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." God is very specific in his timing in the Word of God about what he's going to do many times. Not all the time do we know, but there are times that the Bible is very clear about that. And so Jeremiah the prophet said they're going to go and be in captivity because they sinned. They got away from God, and they're going to be in captivity 70 years, and then they'll return back to the country, back to Israel, back to the place where the temple would be. And then reading the Bible, of course, is something that will bring you to a time of prayer. When you read about prophecy and you stay in the Word of God, somehow that lends itself to make you want to pray more. The more you're in the Word, the more you're going to want to pray. And guess what? The more you pray, the more you're going to want to be in the Word. They work hand in hand. Pray, be in the Word. Be in the Word leads you to prayer. And so that's what he was doing, reading the Bible. And as he was reading what Jeremiah said, it touched his heart and his mind, his emotions, about the whole thing. And so he is trying to figure this out and see what God is saying and what God wanted him to write down for us, even for this evening. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." How many of you believe that? Amen. "And if we know," if we ask according to his will, he heareth us, "and if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." And so we have to make our prayers on the basis of the Word of God. If it's in accordance to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit presses something on our hearts to pray for, we have the right to expect it and expect God to answer our prayer because he wants to do that. And so we have that confidence, that boldness, you might say, in him. And so I believe that Daniel had that boldness And he knew that as he was reading the Word of God, God wanted to speak to him, and he began to pray. Now, look at the penitence in his prayer, verse 3. He said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." All of that means something and is significant. As he read that and he understood that this time was about to end and they were going back to the country, to the land of Palestine, he was moved to pray and to call on God and to seek God's face. And look at the contrition that he had and look at what he was doing. He was fasting. Fasting. Folks, that's a biblical principle, by the way. And it would be good, you may want to check with your doctor just to be sure about it, but it's a good thing sometimes to fast, to go without food. Maybe some orange juice or water, whatever, for a 24-hour period of time from sundown to sundown and be so burdened about some things that you would go to God in prayer and say, "God, I'm so burdened about this. I'm so moved about this. I want an answer, and I need to know your will in the matter." And maybe it's something about your own personal life, but you get on your knees before God and you are fasting, doing without a meal or meals, and saying to God, "That's how serious I am about this. I'm so serious, dear God, about the need that I'm presenting to you that I'm willing to do without food." Maybe more than one day. Sometimes there have been those who have taken the challenge to go 40 days and do without food and meals and that type thing. There are other kinds of fast and intimacy and so on and so forth. But fasting is just simply saying to God that I'm so broken and so disturbed about this whole situation that I'm willing to pray and I'm willing to fast. And when you fast, if you've ever done it, you know it clears your mind. And what it's doing is you're just reflecting to God your unworthiness. You're just unworthy because of that. Matthew 17, the Bible talks about the lunatic boy. The word lunatic comes from the Hebrew word. It's talking about staring at the moon or a moon starer. We get our word lunar and that type thing. And so that's what he was saying about this boy. He was a lunatic. He was a moon starer. In other words, he was demon-possessed and he was crazy is what he was saying about this boy. And so the apostles came and said to Jesus, "We couldn't," and the father said, "You can't heal this boy. He's not healed. They couldn't even heal him. What's wrong?" And we couldn't do it. And he said, "This kind cometh not but by what? Prayer and fasting." There's some things that are never going to happen unless we pray and fast over those things. And it may be a family and a real serious problem there. It may be financial needs. It may be physical needs. There are a host of things that can be said, but this is one of those things. And it's just reflecting to God our sincerity and our unworthiness. And then you notice he said sackcloth. Well, what is sackcloth? About the nearest thing I can think of is a toe sack. How many of you know what a toe sack is? Raise your hand. Well, that's most of you. But we used to have toe sacks on the farm. And we'd kid each other. My dad or somebody would kid us about we didn't straighten up. They were going to throw us in a toe sack and tie the top of it together. They were kidding, of course, I think. But at any rate, it's a rough type material. Well, sackcloth was like that. It was coarse. It was rough. And they would wrap it around themselves. And again, they're just saying to God, "I'm fasting, and I'm doing without the normal comforts of life, and I'm unworthy of comfort, and I'm so concerned about this thing that I don't even want to be comfortable. I want the prayer to be answered. I'm fasting, and I'm covering myself with a sackcloth and ashes." The ashes were always symbolic of sadness or death or broken heart. And so he said, "God, I mean business. And that's the way he went to God. I believe he was real sincere in his prayer, don't you? I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, praying for others, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. God, I'm sincere about that. Do we have that kind of prayer life? Do you have that kind of prayer life? We need it. And that's what it takes to keep people walking down the aisles, to keep people in the baptismal waters, to keep the power of God present in the services, and to work out the challenges that we have as a church. Fasting and praying and going to God. He was very penitent in his prayer and was showing that how sincere he was about what he was praying about. And then we see the particulars in this prayer, the particulars in the prayer, the penitence in the prayer and the particulars. And that goes all the way through verse 15, verse 4 through verse 15. But he confesses verses 4 and 5. Look at it. First, there is some confession. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Now, here's Daniel, the great man of God, 90 years of age. And nobody would doubt that he was a great man of God, that he loved God and he had served God faithfully. But I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now notice what he says in verse 5. Daniel said, they have sinned. Is that right? No. What did he say? We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Daniel said, I need to get something out of the way right up front, God, while I'm praying, and I need to confess that I've been part of the problem in the past, too, to some degree. And he was saying, we've turned our backs on you. We've rebelled against you. We've sinned. We've done the wrong thing. We haven't done what we're supposed to do, God, and I'm confessing that to you. Now, listen. If you're going to be a prayer warrior and you're going to pray, you need to get sin out of your life. Amen? Whatever it is, God's not going to be bound and to answer your prayers until you get sin, whatever it is, out of your life. How do we know that? Well, try Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's as plain as can be. If I hold on to sin and regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must confess our sins. What does that word mean? Lord, I'm sorry. Huh? No. Confess means I see it, God, as a serious matter, a sinful matter, a wrong thing. It is not right. I confess it. I admit it exactly like you want me to admit it. And I know it's wrong, and I'm going to straighten it up. And I'm sorry, and I ask your forgiveness. And so we have to confess. And so he wanted to be sure that his heart was clean and clear, I believe, before he went to before God. And he was praying, confessing not only his sins, but also confessing the sins of his nation. God help us, we need to do a little of that for our country, don't we? We need to confess it. They don't even want Christ in Christmas anymore. And they try to remove him from any kind of public forum and any kind of public property and all of those things. And they don't want the symbols of the cross up. All of the things that our forefathers really relied on, George Washington right on through, and their Constitution was based on all of that. They want to get rid of it. God help us. We need to be praying for our country, and I hope you are. But I believe God is chastening us as a country. He's judging us. But we need to go to him. I'm praying and hoping that we'll see a revival. I don't know if it'll come. You say that's not faith. No, it's faith. I don't know what God's going to do. But we ought to pray for our country. We ought to pray for the leadership of our country. and all of those that are involved in it. We're in serious problems today. Personally, this is just personal. Anytime we give a lot of latitude to Cuba, I think we really made a mistake. And some of us have forgotten what happened some time back. But at any rate, that's sort of off the record as far as this goes. But our country is in a mess, and we need to pray for our country. And he is praying because of his hard attitude. He wanted it to be right. Look at verse 7. He said, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. Again, he's emphasizing that it's not just them, it's himself. And then in verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Then in verse 14, he says, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. He's just saying, it's the whole nation. It's me, it's them, it's a whole lot of us, and we haven't done that. And I think in coming before God in prayer, he's worshiping God here. He's worshiping in his prayer, because here we see a soul that is fully occupied with God. Fully occupied with God. I hope you have some prayer time. I tell people, and sometimes they just don't listen, but you need to keep up your spiritual practices in your life. If you do not daily pray and you do not daily get in the Word of God, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble in your life. We've got to stay in this book. We've got to stay on our knees in order to have victory and to have victory over the devil. And sometimes when I'm counseling people that have gotten their marriage and their lives in a mess, I say, have you been having devotions? And a lot of times the husband will say, no, I've just been neglecting that, and we've just been too busy. Aha! No wonder! When it comes to that time, you may not have the strength. That doesn't guarantee you're going to always say yes to the right thing, but I'll grant you, it'll give you strength you wouldn't have if you didn't stay in the Word of God. We've got to stay on our faces before God. We must stay in the Word of God. That's where we get our strength. And to neglect it for any short period of time is not a good thing for a child of God. And I know we're busy. That's one of the problems. We're too busy in our country because of that. Now, and another thing that we see is the petition in the prayer. The petition in the prayer. Verse 16 and also verses 16 through 19. Let's look at the selflessness of his prayer. Verse 16 and 17. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem. God, please turn away your judgment. Thy holy mountain, Jerusalem, and that area, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications. God, please hear me. Please hear my prayer. Please, please hear my prayer. And cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. God, get us back in the land. He's looking in that direction now. Forgive us what we've done. Let us go back and let the temple be rebuilt somewhere along the way, and the sanctuary that is desolate, shine upon it again. But now here's the clincher. Look at the last few words. Why? For me? For Daniel? For the people so much? No, look at it. For the Lord's sake. There's the motive. He said, I'm praying and I'm asking you to do this for your glory. A lot of our praying, I'm afraid, might be for our own glory. But our prayers and our petitions and our fasting and all that we do should be for the glory of God. We need to want to bring God glory in all that we do. So he said, for the Lord's sake. Look at verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. Get with it, Lord. Do it. Do it now. Let it start happening for thine own sake. For thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. He said, God, this whole mess is not bringing glory to you, and I want you to be glorified, so please help us, forgive us, get us back in the land so that we can glorify you. We are the Jews. We are your chosen people. And you and I are Christians tonight. We're God's representatives to the rest of the world. And we need to be right with God and pray, not so much that we can have easy street, not so much that we can have money in the bank, not so much that we can be prosperous financially and all of that, but that we can bring glory to God, whatever that means. He's worthy of glory, is he not? Whatever it takes to bring glory to God is what we should be willing to give. And so this is the motive. It was God's honor. And so when we have the right motive and we confess our sins and we pray and we go before God, then guess what? God's power is going to be unleashed. God is going to do something, and that's exactly what he did. We put the power of God in motion. And then look at the power in the prayer, verses 20 through 23. The power in the prayer. Verse 20, and whilst I was speaking, I like that old expression, whilst I was doing so and so, and whilst I was speaking and praying, speaking to God and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, for Jerusalem in that area, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even while he's praying. Now notice how quickly God acts. While he is praying, even the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel showed up in the form of a man whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or the evening sacrifice. He said, while I was praying, I was still talking to God and praying, and all of a sudden, God's answering my prayer. I mean, he didn't wait around. Quickly, he answered. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I've come to explain some things to you. You're wondering about that. You know what Jeremiah said. But you know there's something going to happen in the future, and I'm here to help you understand that and to tell you about it. So he informed him, talked with me, said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, at the beginning of thy supplication, right when you started to pray, the commandment came forth. Well, who gave the commandment? Well, I believe God gave him the commandment. The commandment came forth, and God said, Gabriel, Daniel's praying, and I want you to go down there and answer his prayer and do something for him. And so he said, at the beginning of my supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Oh, how would you like to have God say that about you? I believe one reason he loved him is because he loved God and prayed and had fellowship with him. For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Understand the matter and consider the vision. God answered him right away. You know, sometimes God says no, and that's wise. If God says no, that's best. I'm glad sometimes God said no to me. Sometimes I hate to think of who I'd have married if God hadn't said no to me. And some of the different things that go along in life, if God hadn't said no. Sometimes the best thing we can hear is no. We tell our children that sometimes, you know, that we have to tell you no, and it's for your own benefit. Sometimes God says, wait a while, but boy, there's some wonderful times when God says, right now I'm going to answer. And he answers prayer just like that. How many of you have ever had anything like that to happen? Say a big amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, there have been times, it's just exciting. I've seen times when I was in such a hurry. I'm sure these other preachers here could say, yeah, that's right. I was busy and had pushing and pushing and pushing, trying to get it done, trying to get there, go to a hospital, and I say, Lord, I sure do need a parking place. I need to get in here and get out. And all of a sudden, you come around and come up the ramp, and the car's backing out, and you wheel in there and take off. I just don't believe that's accidental sometimes. Now, you can believe what you want to, but I'd rather believe in a God that's able to do that. And there's some other things. And there's some prayers God may take a while to answer. When my brother got killed, he had a watch that he hung on the dashboard of his car. He'd hang it up like that on the dashboard. And when he got killed, it flew out. Nobody could find it. Nobody knew where it was. I figured somebody stole it. But I just, for some reason, as a teenage boy, I just thought, well, let me just pray and ask God for it. I thought, I'll just pray and ask God for it. Because it was a beautiful watch, very, very expensive watch. And it was an Omega band and a beautiful, beautiful watch. And that wasn't so much why I wanted it, but I just wanted something if God would give it to me. My brother got killed in July, and I'm praying and asking God and a few times along the way. I'm just a 17-year-old boy, teenage boy. And so in October, I'm sitting in class upstairs on the second floor of the high school there. Well, the principal came and did like this. Well, that wasn't very unusual, but at any rate, this was one of those times I thought, now, I hadn't done a thing this time, you know. I didn't put the firecracker on the commode and all that stuff, but at any rate, this was one of those times that I just thought, what's going on here? And he said, I need to talk to you a minute. And so I went down with him. We went to his office. I thought, man, we're going to the office. He said, your sister just called and said that you had been praying for your brother's watch, and he knew my brother, and you had gotten killed. He said, they found it. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you can go get it. He let me out of class. I took off running. I don't know how many blocks it was from the school, quite a few, and I ran wide open and got there just to be sure it was it, and it was. And one of our relatives had stopped by to see where the wreck had happened, and he saw something glistening in the vines. The vines were, at that time, they weren't green. They had wilted down. And he went over and picked it up, and guess what it was? It was that watch. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, sometimes it takes a while, but I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And somebody says, well, that's just theory. No, it's not theory in my life, friend. I can go on and on and on and tell you, and so can you. But we need to be a praying people and watch what God does. And sometimes God answers right away. And sometimes God answers some things that seem impossible. I've seen him heal people. Really heal them completely. How many of you believe God can heal somebody if he wants to? Amen? He can. He doesn't need Benny Hinn or any other hen to get it done. He doesn't need Father so-and-so or any Apostle Willie. He doesn't need anybody else to get it done. God can do it. So we have to have, we've just got to be praying, people. There's no other way. There's no other way. If somebody were to ask me, why do you think you've had any degree of success at all in the ministry? My first answer to them would be prayer. Prayer. God hears and answers prayer. And God gives that power that only he can give, no matter what. And so we have to understand that. And so we learn from Daniel's prayer. James 5:16, we close out with this thought. We'll get into the heptads in 7 years next time. We'll save that, give us a little break, and come back to that after we get through the new year. But James says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Why? That you may be healed. That's part of it. And then he reminds us of this principle, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a person does what? Availeth much. Has great and a lot of results if we are praying people. Daniel went to God in prayer. He was sincere. He knew that there was a need, and God said, I'll answer that prayer right now. And may God help us to be people who fast sometimes and pray, get brokenhearted enough about things that we'd just take it to God until God does something, until we see God answer those prayers. Just a reminder tonight, again and again, to be a prayer warrior. And a reminder that God does hear prayer, and he answers prayer. But he's not bound to answer unless we get sin out of our lives, and then he'll answer it. The person that's living in sin and crying out to God can't really expect God to help them out in their situation until they make that right. Let's stand, please.